Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. And oh my, to see what God may do. We just never know. We serve a God who can do all things, and nothing is too hard for Him. And I know I've said it so many times, but it just seems like as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, we have a great need for faith. You can see why Jesus did ask, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And you say, boy, oh boy, I don't know what all it is, but I know our God is the same. Praise the Lord. And nothing is too hard for him. That's his word. That's his ways. And praise the Lord. We can trust him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight. I'm going to pray for Diane too, because I know she had intended, I believe, to be here tonight, and it seems like her knees gave out, and oh, she wasn't, at least earlier, able to even sit. So let's pray for her. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, oh God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before thee, Lord. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that all things are possible to them that believe, Lord, and oh God, that we could come to you, Lord, and know that you can meet every need, Lord. Oh God, know that, oh Lord, you know how to take us through the trials of this life, and oh, how to give us faith, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would give us faith. Oh God, faith to stand. Faith, oh Lord, to, oh God, prevail against the wiles of the devil, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. We thank you for this place, oh Lord, where we gather, Lord, to praise thee, Lord, to honor thee, to open up thy word, to sing thy praises. Oh Lord, we thank you for this place, God. And, oh God, we know, God, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that there you are in our midst. I pray, oh God, that you touch Diane tonight. I pray that you touch her, Lord, that you give her knees the strength that they need. Oh God, I pray that you'd help her, Lord. You know her infirmities. Oh God, and we're giving them to you now in the name of Jesus. Asking, Lord, that you would touch her, Lord. Oh God, I pray also for all the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, you know all. Oh, that the body of Christ, oh Lord, needs, oh Lord. You know, oh God. Oh God, our searching, oh Lord, our questions, Lord. Oh God, you know our hearts. I pray, oh God, that you'd be here tonight. Oh God, I pray that you'd be here to meet every need. I pray that you'd work. I pray that you'd give us faith. Let the devil be rebuked, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, give us faith to believe you, Lord, and to take hold of your word. Oh God, to put it in thy hands, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, work in your people, Lord. Oh, fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let your power come down. Let your presence come down, oh Lord Jesus. Oh God, we do seek you. And oh God, we bring this all before you in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the God, power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Did I not bring my glasses up here? I think they're in my purse, Anna. This. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I needed Anna for my water last week and needed her for my glasses this week. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know. I know what it's like to be in the middle of a fiery battle and everything else. But, oh, my, I'm sure some of the rest of you are too, and you know, God is our deliverer, and he knows how to help us. That's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue with a message that was begun last week, calling it the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues. And I have tried to strive here to differentiate between the two so that we might gain understanding. I know there is a lot of confusion in this world today. And I suppose, you know, maybe it would be to expect it in some ways. We are 2,000 years removed from the time that Jesus Christ walked this earth. And of course, the apostles and everything. But I've been noting what Jude said there in the short book of Jude there, right before Revelation. And though we've gone here before, I want to go there again right now to read this verse here. Jude. We'll start with verse 1 and read through verse 3. Or however the Lord leads here. Praise the Lord. How we need Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Praise the Lord. I like that verse already. Praise the Lord. You know, it's addressed to the church of the living God. Praise the Lord. And God sanctifies His people. That means that He makes them holy. And also it talks about how He's able to preserve His people, which I think is a wonderful, reassuring thought. And of course, God's people are called. And he goes on to say in verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And then here's kind of where his thought rests, it seems like. It says in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so interesting, I do believe that Jude was one of the brothers of Jesus Christ as well as James. And you know, it's so interesting how he penned this so many years ago. And it was definitely on his heart, the need to give all diligence. Oh yes, his best effort to write unto them of such a thing as a common salvation, the common salvation. And he felt it very imperative, obviously, to exhort them of a great need. And that need was to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And oh my, if there was a need for them at that point to contend or fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, how much more right now? Oh, we have seen even in our own lifetimes how Satan has gone about and distorted the Word of God. And oh, we know how hard it is to find the gospel truly preached in the pulpit. Oh, yes, we know that so many have itching ears and would rather have their ears tickled and hear things that are nice to hear, rather than the need to repent and get right with God. Oh yes, you know, that seems to be how it is at this point. But way back in the time of Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, you know, he was writing this and exhorting them and feeling a very great need to bring it out, that need to fight for the faith that was once delivered in unto the saints. And you know, it's interesting. I think I will read the next verse. It does say in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who are before of old ordained to the condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's interesting because even back then, obviously, he's saying that, you know, already among the body of Christ, certain men, and it could obviously be women too, who had just crept in, kind of snuck in and you know, maybe had a front on them. I would say were pretenders, you know, professing some kind of faith. But they had crept in, and you know, their hearts were far from God. They had purposes that were not pure by any means, and they came among the body of Christ to destroy it. They were workers of the enemy. They were workers of the devil, and you know, Jude was well aware of it back in his day. And so certainly, if he was warning the people back then, how about today? How about these moments right now? I think how Paul wrote to the Galatians, and we do turn to Galatians, the first chapter. Praise the Lord, and read a little bit here. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm sure this was another pressing book that Paul penned, and you know, these kind of things aren't easy to write. Oh my, when you have to write a letter of correction, it is one of the hardest things that you have to do sometimes. And of course, you know, if you've ever had to do it, it's with a hope set, you know, you could bring that person to be reconciled to God and help them to see the error of their ways. And I do believe that was Paul's great goal in writing this. But, you know, some things had happened among the church at Galatia. And here he's saying, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But then, oh, he just pens it right to the point here. It says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Oh, that's a terrible thing to present a gospel. Oh, yes, that is not the gospel that was ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, oh my, this is such a burden. He says in verse 9, oh, excuse me, I think I better read verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Again, you know, he's saying it is possible that, you know, besides, you know, even people coming in to pervert the gospel, that it could even be an angel possibly from heaven. But anything that is contrary to God's word anyway, the point is, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. I mean, this is so on his heart. For he says in verse 10, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. And again, all these are serious warnings, you know, because, you know, even in his time, he was seeing what had happened to a church that was very dear to him, very close to him. And, you know, that could easily be a problem. That many times that people would rather tickle people's ears. It's much easier not to, you know, deviate from mainstream, so to speak, I guess you could say. And, you know, I always think of a certain minister that I knew in my past who, you know, when confronted with things that he knew in his heart and, you know, the reason why he wasn't preaching it. He said, if he preached it, he would be kicked out of the organization. Maybe his church would, you know, not put up with it. And then, you know, it's so obvious. That kind of thinking is just simply trying to please man. And, you know, we're not going to give an account before God, or before any but before God when we stand before Him. We're not going to, you know, have to, you know, explain to an organization our stand when it comes down to the end. And we stand before the Almighty One. It's not what men think, but it's what God has required, what God has said, what God has declared. That is what matters. And praise the Lord, this gospel, this message was brought to us with a great price. Oh yes, yes, you took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring forth salvation to us. That precious atonement, it took His taking on our sins on the cross of Calvary in order for us to be forgiven. Oh, this gospel message was brought to us with a great price. And oh my, God's not going to look too comely at anybody who has perverted the precious gospel message. Oh yes, here it is. It's preserved, which is a wonder in itself. Here we are, as I said, already these 2,000 years past the time that Jesus lived, and yet, oh my, we still have the message of salvation. We still have the good news, and praise the Lord, we still have the gospel. That's a wonderful thing. Oh, I thank God He knows how to preserve His word. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus said before He ascended, if we turn to Luke, the 24th chapter, and look at the very end portion here in this 24th chapter of Luke, the very last chapter also in this book. It says in verse 44, "And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And I love how in the next verse it says, Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And He said in verse 48, "And ye are witnesses of these things." In verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Praise the Lord, this is how Luke in his gospel wrote the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 50, "And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass when He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, I believe this is just prior, oh, to the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. He told them specifically what to do. You know, that need, oh yes, to preach the gospel. Oh, that Christ suffered and rose from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And that remission of sins refers to the baptism in water. Praise the Lord, where our sins are remitted by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on, "You are witnesses of these things." And yes, here's the promise. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Jesus knew very specifically that they were going to need a power greater than themselves. They were going to need an authority upon them that was greater than themselves. They would need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, which is the Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of the living God. And praise the Lord, that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord, that was God pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have that description in that second chapter of the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, Peter was able to stand up and say, "This is that, oh, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Oh, praise the Lord. And he preached unto them the gospel. And oh, yes, as he was preaching, oh yes, it tells us that they were pricked in their hearts, those that heard him, those that were gathered there at this feast time of Pentecost. Oh yes, and that very vital question arose, men and brethren, what shall we do? Of course, we understand Peter answered by saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And yes, he goes on to say, oh, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I love this. Praise the Lord. It says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't just for those folks that were gathered there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, no, it was for those 3,000 souls that were added unto the church. And I believe, oh, yes, he poured out his Spirit upon those people too. It doesn't record that specifically, but I believe it happened. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, as we mentioned, you know, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, there, you know, we had the Holy Ghost poured out upon Cornelius' household, a Gentile family. Praise the Lord. While Peter was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that were gathered there in that place, them that heard the word. Praise the Lord. And you know, it tells us, yes, in that chapter, verse 45, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Praise the Lord. There was the evidence. There was the indicator. And oh, there was no doubt. Oh yes, Peter knew that which had fallen on him and those that had come with him and now fallen on this Gentile family and those that were gathered together there that day. Of course, he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Praise the Lord. And you know, last week we also mentioned the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And here, these who were disciples of John the Baptist, when they heard the word of God and realized that although they had been baptized, it was unto John's baptism, unto repentance. And Paul explained, "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, I just wanted to bring out just another detail here in putting this all together here in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and in starting with the first chapter, actually, they were tarrying for the Holy Ghost. They didn't know how it was going to fall or when it was going to fall, but they were waiting for it. They were tarrying. They had followed the instructions that Jesus Christ gave them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So they knew that that was going to happen, but they didn't know how. They didn't know when. And, you know, there they were. They were assembled together. And then on that day of Pentecost, it fell, but they tarried for it. Okay, and the 10th chapter of Acts, it just kind of happened spontaneously. They were believers, and, you know, they needed to hear the Word of God. Of course, more clearly, they had been proselytes, I believe. They had even though they were Gentiles, they had an understanding of God. But yet, you know, Peter had to explain, you know, how Jesus had come and how he had, you know, left this world and how he'd sent back the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord, it came upon them spontaneously while Peter was yet speaking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm looking for that to happen one of these days. Praise the Lord. And then in the 10th chapter of Acts, we see that Paul laid his hands upon them and they prophesied, as well as speaking with other tongues. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we see that there are different manners in that respect that the Holy Ghost would fall upon them. And it could be, you know, I think a lot of us did tarry for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Like I mentioned, you know, last week how my very best friend in high school, how she and her sister, Sherry and Tula, came forward and with the laying on of hands, they spontaneously were filled with the Holy Ghost. So I know, yes, it's very possible that it can happen that way. But, you know, and again, you know, when faith arises in the heart, praise the Lord. And yes, the Holy Ghost will fall. Obviously, Cornelius and his household, they were spontaneous. You know, faith built up in their heart. And they got to that place where they could just believe God and embrace that promise. Praise the Lord. The Lord just took their tongues and they began to speak with other tongues. Praise the Lord as the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise our God. Another thing that I had pointed out last week was that those tongues of fire that appeared upon them were cloven. And I think that indicates the twofold function of tongues. First of all, he falls upon us as the Holy Ghost baptism. Yes, so that we know that we have been filled with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Psalms 29:7 again says, "The voice of the Lord divideth the tongue of fire." I believe that's prophetic concerning how it fell there on the day of Pentecost. But it was a divided tongue, a cloven tongue that fell upon them like as fire. And of course, fire, you know, is descriptive of the Holy Ghost. You know, fire in our bones, the power of God, dynamite, dynamos, you know, the power of God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise the Lord, that power to witness, that power to be strong. Oh yes, that power to walk with God, that overcoming strength, that resurrection power that he puts within us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, that other manifestation, though, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And at this point, I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians and just see how the Lord might direct us here in all of this. I guess before we go to 1 Corinthians, so I'm just going to read from Ephesians here for just a moment. This little verse here, we'll catch it again. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:8 tells us, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And this was an utterance that was prophesied in Psalm 68. I'm just going to go there quickly here. God had prophesied that he would send forth gifts to his people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord to fulfill his whole plan, to give us the abilities that we need in the Spirit to do the works that Jesus Christ did. Praise the Lord. For he said, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father, right? And praise the Lord, the enablement comes with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then, yes, he gives gifts unto his children. Praise the Lord. It says in Psalm 68 and verse 18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, that's a pretty neat verse. Praise the Lord. Just, you know, prophetic of how when Jesus ascended on high, oh, he was going to lead captivity captive. Oh, yes, those that were in bondage, he was going to take them out of that holding place and lead them, oh, yes, to where he is. Praise the Lord. And yes, he was going to send back gifts for men. And I like how it says, yea, for the rebellious also. And I don't know, rebellious means in this case, to turn back or backsliding. Interesting thought here. And I also ponder if it wasn't also referring to the Gentile people, that even the Gentiles who had been so far away, so far removed from the first covenant, for the most part, would be included in the plan of God. I'm not sure, but I think that's an interesting description there. But it says that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is that he would live in our hearts. Oh, and that he would lead us, that he would guide us. He would put, you know, his word within us so that we could be led by the Holy Ghost. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, God in his foreknowledge knew all of this, and he saw the great need. Oh, yes, you know, the first covenant worked in the physical realm. They had to, you know, offer sacrifices of animals unto the Lord to try to atone for their sin. But oh, his second covenant would be spiritual. Praise the Lord. He would come to dwell within his people, to be in his people. Oh, he had walked among his people, but he said, oh, I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. Praise the Lord. There in the 14th chapter of the book of John. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So after the Holy Ghost fell on the believers, praise the Lord, then yes, he has gifts for his children that he also makes available for the church of the living God. We turn now to 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12. And I read some of this. There's a lot here to cover, but we'll see how the Lord will help us here tonight. Praise the Lord. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, probably not going to elaborate at great length with this. It says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, as I was just reading that over today, I was thinking of that 16th chapter of the book of Matthew there where Jesus, you know, he turned to those that were following him, his disciples. He said in verse 13 of Matthew 16, When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, verse 14, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And this is Simon Peter again. He answered, he said, verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is how Jesus answered. He said in verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, that comes by revelation. To know that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one that was prophetically declared in the time of the law, praise the Lord, the time of the first covenant, and even prior to that. Praise the Lord, those prophetic utterances even given by Moses. Oh yes, that declared that there would be one that would come to whom the people would turn. Yes, praise the Lord, one that would need to be received, as it tells in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse 18, I believe. Praise the Lord. But, you know, here the question is asked, those that were with him and Simon Peter's answer, you know, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, that's the base. That's the foundation. You know, Jesus went on to say in verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And, you know, he is saying in verse 18, a very important verse, really. You know, you are Peter. And Peter was given the keys. He would open up the plan of salvation as he did on the day of Pentecost, as he did there to the Gentile church. Oh, yes, in the 10th chapter of Acts. You know, as he did at Samaria there, when he laid hands there on the Samaritans who had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus but had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Yes, they call for Peter and John to come and lay hands on them in that 8th chapter 2. And yes, I believe, oh, I know, they spoke with tongues as the Holy Ghost came upon them. Oh, praise the Lord. But Peter had been given the key, so he opened up the door, so to speak. We see that he was a spokesman on the day of Pentecost. But this verse 18, "Jesus said unto him, that thou art Peter." Peter meant small stone, if you want to interpret that. But it says upon this rock. The rock that Jesus is talking about, the foundation that he is talking about, is not Peter. No, the foundation is Jesus' identity, that knowledge that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that revelation that was given Simon Peter, that he brought forth there in this 16th chapter. Praise the Lord. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Praise the Lord. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation of the church of the living God. Jesus Christ, the head cornerstone. That's what the church is built upon. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So back here in 1 Corinthians 12. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. So, it says in verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Verse 5, "And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord." And verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." And again, what is being discussed in this chapter are the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's not the infilling, the initial infilling. There are two separate things. Praise the Lord. You first of all need to be infilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost as they were on the day of Pentecost. But praise the Lord, God had gifts for man that he had ordained. And praise the Lord, here Paul is going to discuss them and talking about diversities or differences of gifts. There's a variety of them. And I believe these gifts are according to the particular needs in the body of Christ. It says, verse 6 again, and there are diversities of operation in the ways that they work, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And I believe that manifestation of the Spirit that is given to every man to profit withal is that initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord when he comes into our life, when he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, I mean, I know God draws us and God calls us and you can feel the Lord. I mean, if he didn't call you, if he didn't draw you, you wouldn't even be, even trying to contact him. And oh, yes, he's going to talk to you. He's going to pull at your heart. He's going to, show you things. But yes, he does have his Spirit to pour out, and that would be his desire that you would be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then he begins to be more specific here. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And I believe these things are all mentioned as functions of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and to give every man severally as he will. I believe when we have a need for the gift of healing, the Lord can give us that gift of healing. When we have a need for the working of miracles, he can give us that gift. Oh, that need of discerning of spirits, and how we need that. We must have the discerning of spirits. How we need it. And yes, he could give us the gift of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues. And it can be brought out that, when you initially receive the Holy Ghost, you might not speak with other tongues for a period of time. I mentioned in my own life that, the devil would, sometimes my term sit on my shoulder and bug me. And, he'd try to tell me, oh, no, you really didn't do that. That was just fake or whatever all. But praise the Lord, God would bring me to that place. I just pray through again to the gift of the Holy Ghost. And, devil, you are a liar. Oh, praise the Lord has, oh, yes, many wonderful blessings for his people of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I believe that God, in giving forth the Holy Ghost, he then gives these gifts to divide to every man severally as he will. And the rest of this chapter goes on to explain how the body is one, but the Lord puts members in his body so that we are all members of the one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, we're not all the same. We all have, different abilities and different gifts of the Holy Ghost that he gives to us, all to fulfill the need in its entirety. If everything is complete, then it would function in a great way if, all the aspects were put together, all the members of the body of Christ were all working together and all filled with the Holy Ghost in such a way that the Holy Ghost was working mightily within them. So it says in verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And then 13 explains, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a baptism in water, and then there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I have discovered that these days a lot of people are saying you don't have to be immersed in water. But, oh my, they did it in the book of Acts. Oh, it's spoken of in the epistles, and it's so important. When we're baptized in water, we're buried into Christ. Oh my, we don't want to deny that aspect, that important part of the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it represents dying with Christ. And when we come up out of the water, it represents rising with Christ. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Oh, I believe, you know, if all was perfected at that point, there would be the manifestation of tongues as the Holy Ghost would be poured out as one rises up out of that water. Praise the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, again, 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Praise the Lord. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I mean, that would be ridiculous. You know, you look at your foot and you say, hey, you're not mine. Or, you know, you look at your hand, nah, I reject you. No, he's making a point here. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? He's talking about the need for a diversity, a people among the body of Christ. It's one body. We're all called together into one body, into one Spirit, and all of that. But it has many members, and we all have a different part in the body of Christ, a different function. Praise the Lord. So that's what he's explaining in this, the rest of this chapter here. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? The body would be incomplete without, you know, all these senses, all these aspects. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? I mean, yikes, you know, we can't all be feet. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of ridiculous? We need hands. Oh, yes. Oh, we need ears. We need mouths. You know, we need many members to be complete here. It says, but now are they many members, yet one body. And it says, and I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again unto the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, we can't dismiss people because we don't like something about them. You know, we think, you know, I don't know, they're something else, or I don't know, whatever all, God forbid. But anyway, you can't discriminate in that sense at all. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Oh, praise the Lord. So every member is of great significance in the body of Christ. Every member, every part of the body of Christ is very important. And he explains that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care. one for another. Praise the Lord. You know, he doesn't want division. He wants us all to pull together and to realize our different aspects, our different parts, our different gifts. Praise the Lord. And whether one member suffer, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And here he's going to, you know, show again how there's different offices among the body of Christ. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And, you know, these all are different aspects that are needed in the body of Christ. And then he's going to ask a question. Are all apostles, we're not all going to be called to be an apostle. Are all prophets, we're not all going to be called to be a prophet. He said, are all teachers, and again, we're all not going to be called to be prophets. Are all workers of miracles. And he says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And, you know, I'm going to stop right here because I know people take off on this verse all the time. He is referring to those gifts that were mentioned in verse 10, the gifts of the Spirit. When he's talking about the gifts of healing, he's talking about the gift of tongues that's being referenced in this 10th verse. Here prior that we read, and the gift of interpretation. And again, it's a different function, the gift of tongues. And oh boy, oh boy, I don't know just how much time I'm going to have to explain all of this. But that 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about the gift of tongues particularly, and the gift of interpretation. And the big meaning in the 14th chapter here, 1 Corinthians, is that everything needs to be done unto edification in the body of Christ when we come together. He's making a point. If everybody came and spoke in tongues, then where would we be edified? But he is talking about if the gift of tongues would come forth, that then the gift of interpretation should follow it. And that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I've heard the same person give the message in tongues and then interpret it. I've seen that. I know Pastor Meyer, when he was with us, he often interpreted messages in tongues. And praise the Lord. And you know, it tells us in that 14th chapter, if a message comes forth, we might not know. You know, if there's no interpreter, then we should speak unto ourselves and unto God. And there are many blessings in speaking with the gift of tongues. And I just hope we'll just get into that. I need to read verse 31 here. Here in this 12th chapter yet. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And I want to explain this 31st verse. Where it says the best gifts, I believe he is speaking of a gift that would be most appropriate for the circumstances. If there are people that are sick, the gift of healing would be very appropriate. If there are people who don't know the Lord in the congregation, or even for the edification of the body of Christ, the gift of tongues, when it comes forth and is interpreted, can be extremely edifying, a message that comes forth from God. And that's a wonderful work in the body of Christ. You know, these are needful things, and we are to covet earnestly the best gifts. He's going to divide unto the body of Christ severally. That means, you know, as they are needed. We don't, you know, he's not saying you just can have one. You know, you can have as many as the Lord gives you, you know, and I think what he's referring to in this 31st verse, but covet earnestly the best gifts, the best gift for the need at the moment, that which would be appropriate, that would be the best gift. And, you know, he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I believe that part of that sentence is describing that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is telling this church at Corinth, and let me explain something about this church at Corinth. Oh, there were things that Paul had to correct, but they were very zealous, and I truly believe what was happening, they were so zealous that when they came together, you know, they were speaking in tongues. You know, it just flowed out of them. And, you know, it was wonderful. But yet, because, you know, there needed to be edification too. You need all the functions. And, you know, you need all the aspects. And so if there was, you know, if you know, the Word of God wasn't being preached in a language that could be understood, then, you know, It's not going to be under, you know, it's not going to be for edification in that case. But praise the Lord, the function of the gift of tongues is manifold. And, you know, oh boy, where to go and how to do this. But anyway, it comes out. Some of this does come out in this 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But first, let me just say here, the 13th chapter, Paul is telling them, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become of sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And he talks about the other gifts. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and he's talking about the various gifts of the Spirit here. And though I had, you know, this, I had that, you know, I had this ability, and yet I lacked charity. Oh, I had so much faith I could remove a mountain. Oh, praise the Lord. But yet if I did not have charity, if I did not have love for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, for those that are without, he says, I am nothing. Oh, yes, he is emphasizing in this 13th chapter the great need to have a charity, have a love that gives and doesn't expect in return, an unselfish love, the love that Jesus Christ showed forth, the love that he gave when he gave his life for his church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, he's bringing out, oh yes, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, it wouldn't matter. You've got to have charity. That's the bottom line. You've got to have a love for the brethren. It's something that is emphasized and required is by the love that we have one for another. Jesus said that men would know that we are his disciples. Oh, it's so important. Yes, he emphasized that in his ministry. And oh, yes, these descriptions here, you know, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you know, these wonderful things that people can do, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Oh my, oh my, oh yes, oh the Holy Ghost, oh, fills our life and changes us. Oh yes, he gives us that love. Oh yes, it's not going to behave itself unseemly. It's not going to be easily provoked. Oh, praise the Lord. It's not going to think evil. Praise the Lord. These things that we have to put down from the old man that sometimes want to rise up and take over. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, he would teach us how to put the old man down and let the new man rise within us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Oh, praise the Lord. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And here he said, I'm going to explain verse 8 because it's important here. You know, these things, they won't be needed in the new kingdom. When, you know, when we all, you know, when we get home, you know, when this old world is passed away and we're, you know, in the heavenly place, that place where there's no more sin. Praise the Lord. These gifts are for us now. For us now. They're, you know, to be used in the body of Christ now while we're on earth to fulfill the function of the body of Christ. But, you know, there's a time when it won't be needed anymore. Because, yes, we'll be in that place where all is perfect. We'll be at home with the Lord. We won't need all these gifts at that point. And he explains, for we know in part. At this point, you know, we just have partial understanding and knowledge. In reality, there's so much of the fullness of God. We don't know it all. We just know in part. And we prophesy in part. But oh, praise the Lord, there's that day when this is going to be over. Praise the Lord, and we're in the new heaven and the new earth, that place where God dwells and among his people. Oh, yes. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. These gifts will not be needed then. When we, you know, walk in that heavenly realm that he has reserved for his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He says in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's you know, that's so true. You know, a child's dimension of thinking is different than once, you know, he or she is grown up. And so it is. Even there is a maturity that we acquire in the Lord. But oh my, the full realization, oh, the full understanding. It's now that, you know, well, here he describes it. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. See, you know, we have partial insight at this point. It's you know, like a glass, but it's kind of dark. You know, we can't clearly see through it. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes, when all this is done away, but then face to face, praise the Lord, we're going to see him face to face. We're going to be in his kingdom. We're going to be there forever. We're going to know each other as we are known. Praise the Lord. I don't think we'll have to wear name tags either. I just think we're going to know each other, and oh, my, what a wonder it's going to be. Oh, how wonderful it's going to be. Wonderful it's going to be in that place where our Lord is. Oh, that place that he has reserved for his people. That place that he has prepared for his church. Oh, the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. And he ends this chapter by saying, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we see 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the various gifts of the Spirit and the need for the body of Christ. Oh, yes, to be, it's one body, but there are many members, and he's emphasizing that. And there's different functions within the body of Christ that we all fill to make it complete. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How boring it would be if we all were the same anyway. That 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians emphasizes the need to have charity, to have love one another. Oh, as the Lord Jesus loved us. Praise the Lord. And if we don't have charity, then all the rest, all the gifts of the Spirit are nothing. They are vain. They are futile. We've got to have that love one for another, that love, that charity that suffereth long and is kind, that charity that envieth not, that vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, oh yes, that doth not behave itself unseemly or seek her own, not easily provoked, that thinketh no evil or rejoiceth in iniquity, but rather rejoiceth in the truth. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a thing here. Praise the Lord. But, oh, praise the Lord. If we go into 1 Corinthians 14, he is going to help the church to know how the gift of tongues should function here within the body of Christ. Let's see how far we can get here. It says in verse 1, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, the word prophesy means to bring forth. And, you know, it had been prophesied by the prophet Joel that, you know, in the last days, God was going to pour out his spirits upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So it's talking about bringing forth. And he's talking about the importance of doing it unto edification. And again, I do believe that church at Corinth was extremely zealous. And you know, oh, they're just so overflowing in many ways. And, you know, they're all speaking in other tongues. And, you know, I mean, rejoicing in the Lord, it's a wonderful thing. But yet, you know, there was a little problem here because it wasn't unto edification. So he's explaining. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto them, unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Sorry. You know, the gift of tongues is so valuable. There are times when we don't know how to pray. But yet, when we pray in tongues, the Spirit goes forth and does the work that we can't comprehend with our mind. You know, we don't know how we are praying exactly. When it's in tongues, it's like our spirit is praying and we're communing with the Lord. So it's like, you know, we just don't quite know, you know, what we're uttering unless he would give us an interpretation. So he's talking about how that one that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh ministries. I said it again. He speaketh mysteries. And then it says in verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So here's the need for prophecy. And of course, prophecy has many folds too. To speak forth is a function of prophecy. And, you know, sometimes it might be telling forth something in the future, you know, but a lot of times it's just, you know, speaking forth the word of God. But it needs to be done unto edification and exhortation and comfort. These are functions that need to be edified, to be built up in one spirit or to be exhorted. There's times that we definitely need warnings, and there are times we need comfort. Oh, yes. So these are different aspects of the prophetic work. And then he's going to say in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And oh yes, oh my, you can cover a lot of ground when you're speaking in the spirit, in an unknown tongue. It comes forth many times when you have the gift of tongues. At least a lot of us could say so. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds up himself, in other words. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So this is what Paul is trying to bring out in this chapter, the need to edify the body of Christ when it comes together. He says in verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. Okay. But rather that ye prophesied. He's saying, I want you all to speak with tongues, if I can paraphrase this just a little bit. But rather, it's more to edification if you prophesy. Okay? But rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with the tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Then he says in verse 6, Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? So, you know, if we're gathered together and there's a problem, you know, among us and we need to discuss it or we need some kind of encouragement, we need some kind of revelation, we need certain knowledge or whatever, all we need a doctrine. Praise the Lord, you know. It's not going to be profitable if it comes forth in tongues to those that need this kind of encouragement. But if he speaks forth with prophecy, then yes, it can fulfill these functions. And then he says, and even things without life, giving sound, either pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye speak into the air. And I'm obviously not going to have time to finish this chapter. But he is talking. He goes on to say, you know, he thanks God that he speaks in tongues with more than all of them. So obviously in his prayer life, Paul was always, very regularly anyway, speaking in other tongues. And he explains in verse 14, For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And so he says in verse 15, What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Praise the Lord, it's a beautiful thing to sing in the spirit. I don't know if you've ever done it, but oh my, oh what it is. It's quite something. But yeah, there's a time to, you know, pray in the spirit, and there's a time to pray with understanding. You know, there's a time to sing with the Spirit, and there's a time to sing with understanding. And, you know, he's saying, Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, hath I given a thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? See, if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, it's unto God, or it edifies your own spirit. But, you know, it's not going to serve to edify the whole body of Christ, unless it would come with interpretation. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm obviously going to be out of time, but praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when we can pray in the Spirit and you know, things that, oh, we can't even always fully discern, oh, things that we can't know, but letting the Lord speak through us and oh my, how often situations, problems, needs, healing, so many things can come forth. Oh, yes, by those utterances in the gift of tongues. Praise the Lord. One verse here to end. It's in Jude again. It's Jude, verse 20. Jude wrote, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's wonderful things that can happen when we pray in the Holy Ghost. When we let the Spirit pray through us, things that we don't understand, needs that we have. Oh, needs that other people have. Oh, my, the Lord can do so much. We just let the Lord speak through us and bring forth the answers that need so desperately to come forth. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see, the Lord put this all together. The body might be complete and we might all have a function in an ability. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's His desire that we would be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, after that point, the various gifts of the Spirit that come forth that He manifests. Oh, yes. To His church. Praise the Lord and for His church. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful. Oh, God poured out His Spirit. Oh my, Jesus gave up the ghost on that cross, but He sent it back on the day of Pentecost that we might receive of His Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might be endued with power from on high, that we might be a witness in this world that so desperately needs oh, that enlightenment. Oh, by the word of God. Praise the Lord. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, praise the Lord. Yield your hearts to the Lord. Oh, He knows. He desires to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship You, Lord. We praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, You live. Oh, God, in the praises of Your people, Lord. And we love You, Lord. We ask You to work. I pray, oh, God, that You would fill Your people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank our God. He's a wonderful God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Praise our Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, God.
Praise God. Well, in closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 124 and sing The Garment of Praise, number 124.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. The Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God in your